The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up later in this edition of the Radio Today programme, we'll talk to the longest-serving breakfast presenter in BBC local radio as Radio Shropshire's Eric Smith clocks up 25 years on the show. Also, David Lloyd will be here with more radio moments this week, including the separation of Jane and Peter on 5 Live, the departures of Tony Blackburn and Peter Powell from Radio 1, the arrival of CD quality sound on DAB, and the return of Moyles on Radio X.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mick Azzard.
But first, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here as usual to look through the big stories of the week. Hi there, Roy.
How do you do? You okay?
I'm good, thank you. I thought we ought to start this week talking about pop-up radio stations, because Radio 2 have got one on this week, Radio 2 Beatles, which has got some interesting-looking programmes on it. It's some simulcast with Radio 2, some kind of one-off documentaries and things. Looking forward to Gary Barlow chatting to Paul McCartney about songwriting. It looks like one of the highlights for me. So that looks like an interesting one. Nikki Campbell's on there as well, doing a programme from 5 Live on the Radio 2 pop-up. So, yeah, check out the schedule for that. It looks really good, celebrating 50 years of Abbey Road. But you had a story on Radio Today this week about another pop-up station that is coming to Bradford, and this sounds interesting.
This is bizarre. I'm stuck between this is the most bizarre idea ever and this is exactly what the BBC was set up to do, because One Extra will operate a local station in Bradford, near your neck of the woods, for like 35 hours, playing urban dance music and doing local news. So it's a bit weird, and I'm probably going to look stupid in 5 years' time when this is the norm and everybody's doing it. You know, I put on Twitter, I'm looking forward to Radio 2's pop-up popmaster in pool for 24 hours. That'd be quite an idea, wouldn't it? But it might be normal in the future. And of course, pop-up stations have been around for a long time, and brand extensions and all that. So, this is for Music Day, isn't it? This Bradford One Extra radio station?
Yes, it's BBC Music Day going on this week, and all sorts of things happening around the country and around the BBC for it. But yeah, so they're celebrating urban and black heritage music in Bradford, with One Extra working together with BBC Radio Leeds, the local radio station there. So it seems like a sensible thing to do.
Is it?
I don't know whether I'm going to listen to it. I don't know whether people will find it and know about it. This is the problem. It's all very well doing it, but you've got to market it, because if that young One Extra style audience doesn't listen to One Extra at the moment and they don't listen to BBC Radio Leeds, then how in Bradford are they going to find out about it?
I don't know. It'll be on and gone, won't it?
It will.
It's kind of suggesting that One Extra doesn't kind of serve Bradford at the moment, so they have to do a special one.
Yeah, there probably is an argument that it's a kind of London-based station, so getting out into some of the regions kind of shows those areas what One Extra's all about. So it probably benefits One Extra more than it benefits Radio Leeds in that respect, I guess. But BBC Local Radio is trying to get a bit of a younger audience as well. So the partnership and Radio Leeds' branding being next to One Extra says to listeners in Bradford, hey, Radio Leeds does stuff for you as well.
But what about those people in Birkenhead and Blackburn and Birmingham and everywhere else that wants a One Extra pop-up? They're not getting one, are they?
Maybe they'll get it next time. I mean, there's a load of space on DAB on some of the smaller multiplexes. And obviously, if we get small-scale DAB multiplexes in the future as well, then there'll be towns all over the country that could have an extra bit of capacity for the BBC to put something on. So if they're trying it out, maybe it's something they can do more of in the future, especially when we've got more multiplexes.
I do joke about this, but I think for stations like 5 Live, it would be quite useful if for the Tory conferences or the Labour conferences, they could do a 5 Live wherever it was this week. Where's the Labour conference?
It's been in Brighton, yeah. Brighton,
yeah. So they could have a 5 Live Brighton for a few days. That would actually make kind of sense. But then again, is it only people in Brighton who care about that? It's not. It's a national thing. So then again, it might not be, you know. It's weird, because why just target people in that area just because the event or the conference is there?
Yeah, true. And I think one of the other things, David Lloyd has written about this before in terms of the possibilities of DAB for opt-outs for BBC local radio and what they could be doing. And I think we had the conversation off air the other week, didn't we, when I was talking to you about I was listening to Radio Lancashire to the football and it kept flicking frequencies. So I was driving through Lancashire and down into Manchester and it kept trying to give me a different football match to the one I wanted to listen to because there were two different ones on different FM frequencies going off at the same time. So when we migrate everything to digital and our audiences are all digital instead of being FM and AM, then BBC local radio stations that kind of put different commentaries on digital to FM to medium wave and even different ones on different FM frequencies, then all this extra DAB capacity could help with that.
Indeed, yeah. And I think BBC local radio is fantastic, of course.
Yeah, as you said in eRadio this week.
Yeah, my ramble. I mean, there's a going off in a different direction, but Tony Hall did a speech in Cambridge this week talking about how BBC local radio is going to get more local control back, and it's not going to be a one size fits all, which is fantastic, because the one thing that BBC local radio should be doing is managing itself, and it's not been doing that in recent years. So let's hope that that is something that will come off and we'll see the benefits of in years to come, or even months to come.
And great to see the Director General saying he believes in local radio and he wants it to thrive. He probably needs to tell the people at BBC Sounds to make it more prominent in BBC Sounds app, because it's sometimes a little bit hard to find the local radio stations. And on Apple CarPlay, which I have, if you've got that, the BBC Sounds app, as it displays on your car dashboard, it's just physically not possible to pick a BBC local radio station. Even if you've listened to one recently on the app on your phone, you can't get it on the CarPlay interface.
That's terrible.
I know.
It's just, and the iPlayer radio didn't it?
Yes, yeah, it did. It came up with your favourite ones that you'd got picked out. So yeah.
So there's it still needs work. I think somebody said this week that it's pretty much there as far as features go, that they mirrored what it's replacing, but clearly not. Clearly, there's more work to go on that one.
Staying with the BBC, congratulations to Heidi Dawson, the new Five Live controller just announced this week. She started out in local radio at BBC Radio Solent, went on to work at Radio 4, World at 1 and PM, joined Five Live about 18 years ago, has recently been the managing editor and is new controller, replacing John O'Wall. So congratulations to her. Departing the BBC this week, though, was John Humphreys, who did his last Today programme on Radio 4. Here's this week's radio moment, if you didn't hear the end of his time on the show after 32 years.
Thanks, of course, to the BBC for tolerating me for so long. There's a lot wrong with it as an organisation. There's a lot wrong with every organisation, and it's facing massive challenges from social media and changing behaviour and all that. But I believe we need the BBC as much now as we ever have done. I simply cannot imagine this country without it. It is an unthinkable thought. And finally, and far more important than anything else, my thanks to you, to the vast numbers who've written over the years, sometimes to give me a pat on the back, often to give me a kick up the backside for getting it wrong or for being out of touch. You're always right. Well, nearly always. I am amazed at the loyalty you have shown this programme. You really are the backbone of our country. You care about our democracy. I know that from all your letters and emails. It's an old-fashioned thing to say, I suppose, but I really do feel that I have got to know you over the decades, and you're decent people. I'm more proud than I can say that you have put up with me for so long. Thank you, all of you, and I do hope you keep listening. Today matters for tomorrow. And if that's a rather corny way to end my years on the programme, well, so be it. And that's it from me and from today, from Justin and me. Thanks to our editors. Good morning.
So that's John Humphreys bowing out. Do you think he'll turn up somewhere else? Do you think he'll rock up to LBC?
Bum, bum, bum. You never know. James Rea might have eyes on him. Would he go, though? Or has he had enough?
I don't know. He's probably ready for a nice sit-down and a cup of tea. I know I would be after 32 years on the Today programme. Talking of LBC, Nigel Farage experienced a tricky caller on his LBC show on Tuesday night this week. There's no way a producer could have known that Callum Hark was going to say what he said, but at least he didn't swear.
Do you feel a bit sorry for Boris, Mark, or not?
That's where I've been for the last few years. I've got to say, I'm immensely grateful to you for everything you've done in British politics over the last few years. I used to be an ardent Remainer. I voted Remain. I believed in the European project. Mm-hmm. I believed that staying in the European Union was the best thing for us. And then something happened and something monumental happened. It completely changed my opinion on the whole situation.
What was that monumental thing, Mark?
I was kicked in the head by a horse.
Right, very good. Okay, fine. Thank you. Mark, we're going to move on from that and go to David, a new caller.
It was all going so well.
Mark could have said anything at that point, even worse than that, but he just decided to say he got hit with a horse.
There we are. Yes.
We got sent some audio last week of a potential Chris Moyles call on LBC, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, on the Nick Abbott show, wasn't it? Was it Nick Abbott?
Yeah.
I listened to that. It didn't really sound that much like Chris Moyles.
The opening, hello, sounded like Chris, but the rest of it didn't, and it wasn't that funny, really, so we dismissed that one. But if you've got any audio of radio presenters messing around calling other radio presenters, then send it in. Or if you want to do it yourself, you know, and record it and send it to us, then we like stuff like that.
That's people good. Used to do that. Ian Lee used to do that. I think Ian Lee called Five Live a few times, didn't he, and got quite cross about things. And did Moyles, so Chris Moyles used to ring Nick Abbott, did he?
He did, apparently, yeah, back in, back when, maybe even when he was on Virgin Radio, but yeah, he used to call in under fake names and say silly things. It's quite funny. I may have done it myself once or twice as well.
Really? It all becomes clear.
Until this moment in time. Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you which stations or what the topic were. It was just funny to do.
Let's move on. Some news from Helios Media just in as we record. They bought High Peak Radio and Ashbourne Radio back in June this year, I think it was. And they've now said we're going to change their name to match our station in Stockport. So they're going to rebrand as Imagine Radio, keep a local breakfast and drive show. Rest of the output will be shared from Stockport.
So this is sad, don't you think? I mean, we've had dozens and dozens of radio stations changing their names over the years, but when you've got the two names that sell what your station does, as in town name plus the word radio, Ashbourne Radio and High Peak Radio, to get rid of those and give yourself a generic station name after so long, these stations have been there for so long, it's just a shame, don't you think?
Yeah, and ultimately, if they're going to split a lot of the output, have some local programs made specifically for those stations to talk about stuff going on there, and they made it quite clear in their quote, the Whaley Bridge dam stuff that happened recently showed them that it was important for local radio to carry on. It just seems a bit strange to lose those names, because even if you are going to do some local opt-outs and local ads and everything, if you change the name on a station name that is so, you know, part of the community, like High Peak Radio always was, and we had Steve Jenner on the podcast a few months ago, it does seem a little bit strange.
I'm just looking for their radar, because their radars they're not in radar. Never mind. They're not actually in radar, so they probably don't care. But their recall will, you know, go right down, because, you know, what station do you listen to? Oh, the station with my town name in the title. So to go to Imagine, but good luck with the guys, though. They're obviously trying to build a little radio group, and they've got three or four stations now, and they're building a little hub in South Manchester, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and they're going to have studios in Ashbourne as well. So where the studios in Chapel-on-le-Frith were previously, they've left those, or they're leaving those, and they'll have some studio facility in Ashbourne. So still within that kind of High Peak stroke Ashbourne area to do those local shows from, apparently.
Yeah, and none of the presenters are being cut because of this move. So that's good news. Just all about the name.
Yeah, we've not talked about Bauer this week, so let's give him a quick mention. And it's good news because Jazz FM is teaming up with Radio 3. They did this a few years ago for a pop-up station, BBC Music Jazz, but they're going to work together for the London Jazz Festival, and some content created by Jazz FM will appear on Radio 3 and on BBC Sounds, and some Radio 3 stuff will be on Jazz FM as well, I think. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, and Project Banana 2, talking of Bauer, has kicked in this week, hasn't it? The drive show on Absolute Radio is now on Absolute Radio. Here we go. 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Noughties.
Classic rock? Noughties. Yeah,
and classic
another
rock.
Decade there.
Yeah.
And classic rock. I say let's just get the whole station as one and put every single show across every single station. Maybe that's where they're headed.
And I think we mentioned on this podcast, or you mentioned on this podcast last week, that nobody else in the country was doing this. But it turns out Jack FM have been doing it in Oxfordshire on the quiet and didn't tell us about it.
Yeah, I didn't see that press release. Maybe they were just experimenting it. But it's been like that for a while, hasn't it? Jack 1, Jack FM, Jack 2 and Jack 3, all with the same content at breakfast, but different music, which is great for the people of Oxfordshire.
But not the rest of the country. But maybe Absolute will roll that out. You never know. And we mentioned Bauer, so let's mention Global as well. Thanks to the team at Global and Radio X, who invited me this week to go to their exclusive gig in Manchester with Sam Fender and Liam Gallagher. Yeah, great gig. Lots of classic Oasis to sing along to. And some of Liam's solo tracks as well to launch his new album. And as we said last week, we're more than happy to be invited to any gig or event your station is putting on. And if we can make it, we'll try and be there.
It's good to be invited. It's good to be thought about.
The Viamux workshops, if you're interested in finding out about small-scale DAB, are continuing, supported by Radio Today and Play Out One. They're in Edinburgh on the 28th of September, Newcastle the 5th of October, Sheffield on the 9th of November, Watford on the 10th of November, and Cardiff on the 23rd of November. Full details at viamux.com. Next week, Roy is heading to Ireland and then Amsterdam for the All Ireland Radio Awards and Imaging Days. So buy him a drink and say hello if you see him.
It's going to be one hell of a road trip, literally going from the middle of Ireland to the middle of Holland with a couple of overnight stops. Should be good. Looking forward to it.
And I think there are still places available for Drive to Digital on the 30th of October at the British Library in London, if you'd like to go to that. Next week, it's Roundtable. So Roy and I will be back with you in a couple of weeks. I'll see you then.
Oh, we get next week off, do we?
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme. I'm delighted to welcome this week a legend of BBC local radio. He's been at Radio Shropshire on the air for about 25 years, more than 30 at the station, and nearly 50 years since he joined BBC local radio. Sorry, we're making you sound old here. It's Radio Shropshire's Eric Smith. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Stuart. Scary, isn't it?
I know. So we'll talk about 1972 and Radio Sheffield in a little while, but I'm told it's a record. You're now the longest serving breakfast presenter across all of BBC local radio. How does that feel?
I gather so. I mean, I think I feel like a survivor, to be perfectly honest, especially if, you know, we go back to the very early days of local radio. I think we're all survivors, to be honest, to be here, because there's a long story to be told about the early days of local radio, of course. But we were sort of looking at records left, right and centre over the past year or so. And to be honest, to last 25 years doing a breakfast show, for somebody like me who I am a self-confessed not a morning person. I have a breakfast mug that everybody knows about on the radio station, and it says on it, not a morning person. And that's me, because the early morning alarm clock and I, we are not friends, and we haven't been friends for 25 years. Because before that, I used to work in nightclubs, and I'm a late night owl, really. I'm a 3 o'clock in the morning, no problem at all. But getting out of bed is just horrendous.
And you put yourself through it 6 days a week as well, because you do Saturday mornings at the moment, Saturday breakfast.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, really? The good thing is, like a lot of us, most of us in this business, I suppose, really, nobody forces me to do it. And we do it because we love it. And, whilst I hate the early morning alarm clock, the job and the detail, if you like, the variety of the job is fantastic. Especially on a speech-based station. I've worked in commercial radio as well, and I've played records and played the ads and done the music. But on a speech-based radio station, on a breakfast show, no 2 days are the same. You don't know what's coming up next. Things change at the drop of a hat. It's a challenge. And I always say to the, I never thought I'd say this. I always say to the young ones, it's not work. You know, my dad used to work in a factory. My dad used to go out and work for a living because he used to come home and put the wages on the table on a Friday and give my mum the money. And he did that to pay the bills. But, you know, I've had a great career. It's fantastic. It's not work.
And you're so loved. And I know this from a personal view as well, because some of my wife's family live in Shropshire. And whenever we used to go down and visit her gran, she would always talk about her Eric. She would put Radio Shropshire on first thing in the morning when she woke up and leave it on all day. And she glowed about you. She'd never met you, but you were part of her life.
Well, that's it. You see, I mean, the thing is, you know, I mean, some of the reason I'm sort of still doing breakfast here, and it's been said to me by management on several occasions, is that I've got what's generally known as heritage. I know the patch backwards. I've been everywhere in the patch. Lots and lots of people know me, I suppose. And they know that I love this place just as much as they do. When I first came to Shropshire 30 years ago, an estate agent said to me, within a couple of months of me being here, oh, killer of ambition, Shropshire. You'll never want to go anywhere else. Okay. One, you never want to go anywhere else because it's so nice. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to bring up kids, which is what we did at the time. But it doesn't need to be the killer of ambition. And I've always said that as well, that, you know, I stay here. I'm still here, but I'm still ambitious. I still want to do things. You can sit there with your slippers and put your feet on the desk if you want. But, you know, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, you've still got to keep trying. You've got to keep striving. And things change. Technology changes. The county changes. The world changes. And it's going with it and adapting to those changes. And I think, to be honest, because I've been able to adapt to those changes and the way we've done things, the style of the breakfast show now is different from the style of the breakfast show perhaps 3, 4, 5 years ago. We've moved it on a little bit. It's quicker, et cetera, et cetera. So because I've been able to change, maybe that's why I'm still here.
And I suppose because the world has changed, places in Shropshire feel closer to Birmingham and other bits of the region now. So that's perhaps why commercial radio has said we don't need Shropshire-based stations anymore. And you're kind of the last man standing at breakfast. You and Claire, I think, are the only breakfast show coming from the county now, which is, it's quite an important thing for you to keep doing that because of that reason.
Yeah, and there is a sense of identity in Shropshire. And if you look at radio particularly then, and some of the areas that work and some of the areas that perhaps don't work, some of the areas where radio has a bit more of a difficult time. Yeah, the big cities, there's far more competition. Of course there is. I accept that without any problem at all. But then if you start to look down in the Thames Valley area, you look about the M4 corridor, right? People lived in some areas because they have to live there. They have to live there because it's relatively easy to get to their place of work, whether it be a town and city in the Midlands or whether it be London. And they don't really have an investment in it. Now, Shropshire's different because people in the main live and work in Shropshire. There are some commuters who go off to Wolverhampton and Birmingham, I'll give you that. But people in the main live and work in Shropshire. And I think the reason that BBC Radio Shropshire has been successful from the very beginning, and it was, is because we've capitalised on that localness, that love of this county. It's a bit like, for instance, Merseyside. You could build a wall around Merseyside and they'd be quite happy. You could build a wall around Shropshire and people would be quite happy because they love Shropshire. And generally, people live here because they want to live here, not because they have to.
A lot has changed, as you say, even in the last few years. I guess when you started on Radio Shropshire Breakfast, just as at the stations before it, you were getting letters and postcards every day, now it's the reaction is instant. So that, as your life has turned upside down, I guess, in that respect.
Totally different now. Absolutely right. Totally different. We used to get the odd phone call or two. That's fine. Okay. And then people did send you postcards and things like that. But of course, nowadays, for all of us, things have changed. And the world is moving so much quicker. There is so much more reaction, instant reaction to what goes on by Facebook, by Twitter, any means of social media and emails. Bang, they're in there. And I remember when we first got emails. And I remember walking back in the office saying, so am I going to get an email? Eric.smith@bbc.co.uk. Yeah. Wow. That was a big deal then. It was fantastic. I remember when I was at Cumbria for a while, and years and years ago, and we got a fax machine, and they delivered this fax machine, which cost about 500 quid, and they put it in the office. And I said, never use that. Well, we did. We used fax machines for a while. And I still remember the old fax machine, cluttering it all out there and all that. But now, of course, don't need those anymore. Emails, texts, Twitter, Facebook, and it's all happening on a screen near you. In other words, right by my right-hand side here. There's about 5 different screens in one. Again, the technology is, you know, you've got to move a bit quicker to keep up with that.
an instant reaction from having a co-host sat next to you to bounce off as well, because Claire's been with you on the show, I think, about eight years now. So I guess that must have made a difference when she joined.
She has. And you know, we broadcasters know that we like a reaction, don't we? That's why perhaps we do competitions sometimes, and competitions are dead easy, because then the phone lines start lighting up and you think, oh, thank God, there is somebody there. That's amazing. Wonderful. Or maybe you look through your glass at into the ops room and you see your technical guys and they're smiling and they're laughing and you know you've hit a chord, you've struck a chord there. But the good thing about doing it with a co-presenter, and especially with Claire, because she's got a great sense of humour and it's lovely, we get on very well. People have suggested sometimes, are you married? I am married, but not to Claire. So we're a bit like an old married couple, if you like, or maybe a loving brother or sister, a bit of a love-hate relationship. But it works because you can bounce off each other. And sometimes the odd comment that you think it ain't going to go anywhere creates something and off people go and they pick it up on Twitter and they pick it up on Facebook and they pick it up on emails and it just flies. And I know that applies to any of our guys around the country who are doing radio. Just the odd comment sometimes and all of a sudden it's taken you by surprise.
And you mentioned Cumbria. I know you worked at Humberside and at Stoke and at Sheffield, so a kind of journeyman of BBC local radio in its early days. I guess the point of local radio has changed a little bit now, but it's perhaps more important because we feel closer as a country when perhaps when you started out, we were closer as smaller communities.
Yeah, you know, we've moved around a lot, as you suggested. I think altogether I worked on 7 local radio stations and in regional television. And initially it was just my wife and myself, and that doesn't matter. Just she's bless her, she's lovely, she's delightful, Linda, and she just said, you know, wherever the job is, I'll go with you. So we went. And then we started, we had children, and then we came here to Shropshire. And perhaps that's why we stuck in Shropshire. Stuck's the wrong word. Perhaps that's why we are still here in Shropshire 30 years later. Because we brought children up in the county, et cetera, and it's a nice place to live and a nice place to be. But then you start to think about how people consume news now, how people find out about what's going on. And I always thought it was quite amazing. BBC Radio Shropshire started in 1988. Local radio, BBC local radio, started in 1967. So for 20 years and a bit, there was no BBC local radio station in Shropshire. So to find out what's been going on, you had to then buy the local newspaper. And I'm not in for one second knocking the local newspaper. We've got a great local newspaper here and local weeklies. But I just found it incredible that you'd wake up in the morning and you would have no clue as to what was going on until you then bought the Star later on in the day. Now, of course, it is instant. You can put your radio on and you can listen. You can go on social media and any of the social media websites, our own BBC website and everybody else's, and find out what is going on. But the thing about breakfast radio and the reason I think we still work as breakfast radio around the country is that people wake up and they want to hear somebody talking to them one-to-one. And if you can get that one-to-one communication, we all know that in radio, between the presenter and the listener, you're winning. A one-to-one communication, if you like, about what's going on this morning. How are you? What's your world like? Because this is what's happening in our big wide world, not just in Shropshire, but around the world as well.
And you mentioned your children. David, one of your sons, has followed you into radio as well. You didn't do enough to put him off it.
I didn't, did I? David is the only one of my three lads who's gone into radio. And it was going to happen from when he was a very small boy, really. He was the one who was fascinated by radio. And I remember David was going off to university and he decided he'd have a gap year. And he rang me one day and he said, I've got an interview at Radio Leeds. I said, I've got an interview for a BA's job at Radio Leeds. So it's next Wednesday or whatever. And I said, well, I do know a couple of people at Radio Leeds, but I don't know who's going to be interviewing you, et cetera. Anyway, blow me. He went to Radio Leeds and he got the job. And then he rang me. He said, I got the job. He said, I'm not going to bother with the university course. I'm going to work for Radio Leeds. So off he went to work for BBC Radio Leeds. Bless him. Good lad. And then he went to, and he is at the moment at BBC Radio Gloucestershire. He loves it. He loves it just as much as I do. Which is great. So that's the bit that's passed down the genes. And he's, bless him, he's a good broadcaster, is Dave.
And he's kind of followed you, I suppose, because you gave up what was hopefully going to be a promising career in law to be a record librarian, was it?
That's right. I left school and I went to work in a solicitor's office as a trainee legal executive. That was a very posh title for a junior clerk to start with anyway, while you learn a little bit. And I got the associate examination for the Institute of Legal Executives and over a 3-year period. And then I was going to have to go on and do the fellowship exams. I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it at all. Wrong career, wrong place, just didn't work for me. In the evenings, I was working for Mecca in places like Tiffany's and the Penny Farthing in Sheffield and places like that, doing DJ stints till 2 o'clock in the morning. So there's no wonder I didn't like the early morning of getting into the office and trying to do a job in the legal business. And then one day, a colleague at work dropped an advert on my desk and he said, for God's sake, apply for that. And it was record librarian at BBC Radio Sheffield. So I did. I applied for it and I went along and blow me, I got the job. And I was then a record librarian at the age of 20 at BBC Radio Sheffield. But I was in. I was in the world of radio. I knew nothing about it apart from listening to radio and enjoying radio. I used to listen to Radio Luxembourg and the pirate stations, of course. But I was in at BBC Radio Sheffield. And I was record librarian, filing records that producers were too lazy to put away, cataloguing records. Didn't really enjoy doing that either, to be honest. But I could attack now from the inside. So I used to volunteer to do all sorts of different jobs, because that's the way you do it, isn't it? You volunteer to do stuff. I'll do that. I'll go and do that. I'll have a go at that. And they eventually started doing a little bit more on the technical side, went out doing vox pops in the street. I hated doing them, but you do them to get yourself on the radio. And then in the end, they took me out of the record library and gave me a job as a BA, or a station assistant, as we called it then, which was a do everything or learn, you know, the technical side of it as well. And little bits of presentation, which I then started to enjoy. And about two and a half years later, I got an audition from them, if you like, in-house anyway, to do the breakfast show, because the breakfast presenter had left. And then started to do, I did breakfast on BBC Sheffield, and then went on to Stoke-on-Trent, then came back to Sheffield, then into commercial radio and back in the BBC again.
Wow, a long career. And you're being honoured with an honorary Doctor of Letters from the University of Chester in Shrewsbury this month as well. What was your reaction when you found out that they were going to give you that?
Oh, knocked sideways. Absolutely knocked sideways, to be honest. I opened the letter. My wife was there when I opened the letter. And I slid the letter open and had a look. And I think she thought it was bad news. She didn't know who it was from. And I was like, and she said, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine. Just read that. And there it was. Would you do us the honour of accepting da-da-da? And do them the honour? My goodness gracious, it's an honour for me, I'll tell you. So, yeah, completely knocked sideways. It's contribution to local radio, as far as I'm aware. But, you know, this is something I've absolutely loved doing for, as you quite kindly pointed out, nearly 50 years. It's a long time. I can still remember when I walked into Radio Sheffield when I was 20. Still remember it. Green as grass, not knowing a thing. And now I'm hoping to bring the young uns on, I hope, as well.
And have you got a highlight from your 25 years on air at Radio Shropshire that springs to mind?
I think... the Queen's Jubilee celebration, so that would be 50 years, wouldn't it? Because I commentated on the Silver Jubilee, which was be 1977, in a park in Sheffield, Hillsborough Park, as far as I remember in Sheffield. And then I was asked when the Queen's Jubilee celebrations were on, she was going to come to Telford to the International Centre, and there was a concert at the International Centre. And I think Telford and Wrekin Council were organising it, and they asked me, I think it was Telford Council then, they asked me to host it. So I'm hosting a concert in the International Centre with about 1,000 children there as well, and the audience of mums and dads and everybody else, in front of the Queen. And that was just wonderfully scary, if you like. I've always said to my lads, as long as you don't endanger your life, it's good to be scared. You've got to push yourself. You've got to do things that maybe are outside your comfort zone sometimes. And we do all the time in radio, of course, and in the media generally. You have to do jobs that maybe are a bit on the scary side. And I think that was one of them. That was one of my fantastic highlights of the 25 years. The other is for the past 16, 17 years this year, I've done pantomime locally, professional pantomime.
Oh, no, you haven't.
Oh, yeah. You won't be surprised to know that's not new, but oh, yes, I am. So this year, I think we're doing 70 performances in 5.5 weeks of Aladdin. at Theatre 7. Last year we did Mother Goose and we had 42,000 people see it. It's amazing. So that is another sort of slightly scary thing that that I've done that embarrasses my kids and my wife immensely, which is wonderful. And I love Panto, and I live for Panto at Christmas time now as well.
Wow. Well, congratulations on the award, and thank you for talking to us. It's lovely to catch up with you.
Bless you to it. Thank you very much.
That's Eric Smith, who this week is being awarded an honorary Doctor of Letters degree from the University of Chester in Shrewsbury. Fantastic achievement. Well done, Eric. David Lloyd is here in a minute with some radio moments. First, a reminder to try Clean Feed, which is a great way to get a quality guest onto your radio show or maybe host your show or podcast from somewhere different to normal. Clean Feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to connect in live. Decent quality audio just using your browser, and you can even record it as well within the browser. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. There's a completely free version. It only takes 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording for your show or your podcast. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Radio
Moments. It's 12 years this week since a daily radio marriage ended.
Over the, 13 years, we have had a terrific time at Five Live. The people, if you like the station and you wonder sometimes what people here are really like, I have to say that without exception, the people who work here are terrific. There's a great atmosphere. We do have a lot of fun, which I hope comes across or has come across on the radio over the last decade or more. And I think what's changed during the course of Peter and I working together has been the connection with the audience, hasn't it? The fact that people can text in, can email in, and it's so immediate. Your hair's got grayer. The relationship with the audience has got better and better, because truthfully, when we first started, well, only our closest relatives were listening to Five Live Breakfast. But things have got so much better over the years, and we do appreciate it. So thank you all for listening and for taking part.
And this, the final comment from Scott. Scott Webster. I am a 36-year-old.
The remarkable Jane Garvey with Peter Allen on Five Live, their last drive programme together. Tony Blackburn left Radio 1 35 years ago this week.
I'd like to also thank the National Press, actually, for being very kind to me yesterday and writing some very nice things over the last, 4 or 5 weeks or so, and over the last 17 years, for that matter. And above all, I'd like to thank all those of you who have listened in to the programmes that I've done. I hope I've made you happy. I hope I've made you laugh sometimes. And thank you very much for putting up with some of those dreadful jokes as well. I hope to be back now and then on Radio 1 from time to time. And this is the sort of end of an era, really. I opened up Radio 1, and I'd like to just say on behalf of the people that your mums and dads probably will remember, the ones who opened up Radio 1 initially, Roscoe, Johnny Walker, Stuart Henry, people who aren't with us anymore but on various other radio stations, Kenny Everett, David Hamilton, Terry Wogan and Ed Stewart, and all the other guys who were part of this particular era that I've been part of. So it is the end of this era for Radio 1 and the start of a brand new era. I'd like to say thank you very much indeed for listening in, and I look forward to seeing you again very, very soon indeed. Who knows where it might be?
Tony Blackburn's final show on Radio 1 this week in 1984, and I suspect he didn't imagine he'd still be at the BBC over, 30 years later. Staying with Radio 1 departures, who's this handing in his security pass in 1988?
I can't speak for the rest of the teams around the country, but on behalf of your fellow disc jockeys, we are going to miss you a lot. You've been great fun, and you've always had a good thing to say for everybody, so thanks a lot, Pete. And we wish you lots of luck, mate.
We've had some laughs.
Yeah, we have. One other thing. Mm-hmm. You know in the studio there is that special phone.
Yeah.
The telephone, which sometimes the punters can get through to us, and a lot of time we DJs use ourselves.
Yeah.
You know that phone? We have a surprise for you. It is your telephone bill for all the personal calls you've made over the last 11 years at Radio 1. £16,473. You have one phone call left. Consult your solicitor.
Listen, mate.
We love you.
Since you've been here twice as long as me, I bet your phone bill's twice as big.
Whoops. Have a good one, Pete.
That abuse of the phone used to happen at just about every radio station back then. After 11 years on Radio 1, Peter Powell waving farewell this week 31 years ago. It's a staggering 24 years this week since the BBC first went into full DAB offensive.
The BBC has switched on the UK's first digital audio broadcasting service. It transmits Radio 1 and the four other national networks in CD quality sound. At the moment, there are only about 30 digital listeners, and DAB radios won't be in the shops for another year or two. But Daily Telegraph radio critic Gillian Reynolds says it'll be worth the wait.
We're going to want it for two reasons. One, it's beautiful quality. quality. Two, it doesn't vary. You can pick up your little tranny, you can walk from room to room, and you don't have all that terrible mess of saying, ah, I've just lost the end of the play, or where did the end of the record go?
The BBC helping to lead the way on DAB this week in 95, the first commercial radio multiplex followed in 99, and then the locals.
Hi, this is Erica North, and Hot 106.2 goes digital at the end of June. Keep listening. This is a test transmission.
The early days of DAB. 80 years ago this week, Radio Luxembourg closed down its international broadcast, which had been so widely appreciated here in the UK, not least on Sundays when the BBC was even more staid than usual, so you rather needed a little bit of this.
Good morning, everyone. Sandy here again with Peggy and Ronnie to bring you a few sunny melodies to start off the day. Well, now is the season for sunbathing, and if you're a sunbather, here are a few tunes which will remind you that this is the time to get out in the sun and store up some of those vitamins. Here's a tune, for instance, that should be full of meaning for you. Do you remember Here Comes the Sun?
Very funky, yes. On the eve of war, the Luxembourg government felt that Radio Luxembourg might jeopardise the country's then neutrality, so those much-loved international broadcasts ended, as did domestic broadcasts when Luxembourg was invaded. At that stage, Radio Luxembourg's mighty transmitters were used for propaganda, famously this chap.
The French had laid down arms, and throughout the world people wondered when the final act, the offensive against British soil, would come. In Germany and many other countries, particularly in England, there was a firm conviction that it would come soon, and that conviction remains. The day and the hour are the Führer's secret.
Imagine listening to that here, as people did Lord Haw Haw on Radio Luxembourg's transmitters just before a fascinating brief spell just after D-Day, when the station was quietly run by the American Army. Radio Luxembourg was to return after the war. Staying briefly with wartime, it's 80 years this week since Singing Together began on the BBC. It was to last over 50 years.
This is the BBC Home Service for Schools. Singing Together.
This series is designed to encourage children to sing together and to help them build up their repertory of songs. The songs have been chosen for their simplicity, and each programme will contain a song with a rousing chorus, a song with a beautiful melody, and a nonsense song.
Singing Together, which launched this week in 1939, and the broadcast from later years fondly remembered by Jarvis Cocker, amongst others. 2015 now, and a new home for Chris Moyles.
Well, this is a bit weird, isn't it? So it's 6:32, Monday, 21st of September. Welcome to a brand new radio station. I've been waiting for 3 years for this place. Sitting on my backside, doing nothing. Watching Judge Reinder, or whatever it's called.
Radio X and Chris Moyles this week, 4 years ago. Another breakfast favourite hosted his last show this week, 17 years ago.
I'm very rarely recorded. I'll tell you why I'm never recorded. It's because I can't work the gizmo that records. I can never find the right one, so I have to be live. Anyway, somebody's using a mobile phone.
Les Ross ending his BR&B breakfast days this week, 17 years ago. So with Dave Pearce's last dance anthems on Radio 1, 11 years ago.
Who's that for tonight?
The Pirate Radio 390 launching 54 years ago.
Radio 390, your family station, brings you The Russ Conway Show.
And Virgin revealing it would begin themed radio stations by the end of the year, 19 years ago, always ahead of the game they were. Those are this week's radio moments.
Yes, thank you, David, and thanks this week as well to my main guest, Eric Smith from BBC Radio Shropshire. Next time on the podcast, Trevor Dan is back for our October edition of the Radio Today Roundtable. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.